In the unpredictable world of fantasy sports, when all hope seems lost and chaos and confusion rule, one hero will rise. And change everything. Going for 2.com. Because no one remembers the extra point.
Going on, guys. All right, welcome to episode 88 of the Armchair Fantasy Show. I'm your host, of course, Jeff Lambert. You can follow me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. Coming at you live every Friday night on Facebook Live, Periscope, Twitch, and Twitter. Also, you can find us on YouTube Live as well. And also on all your podcast networks, you know, after the show has been done, it'll be posted to iTunes, Stitcher, and all that good stuff. All right, guys, with me, as always, is my co-host, Mr. Ryan Searfoss. How you doing tonight, man?
Hey, fantastic. Starting prep for the Scott Fish Bowl. Check out my profile. I have consistency scores for everybody. I have total points over 30 for everybody over 20. Basically showing how people performed on a week-to-week basis. It's pinned to my profile.
Nice.
If you're in it, it's awesome.
Nice.
And check it out.
Show us your shirt. Show us your shirt. You got the Scott Fishbowl shirt on. Yep. I got mine Absolutely. On tonight, too. You got the Sega one, and I got the Super Mario one. So good stuff. All right. Also joining us tonight, his first time on the show, Mr. Matt Williams, co-owner and managing editor of FSStatistics.com. You can find him on Twitter at Matt Williams. Matt Williams with 2 7s instead of L's in the last name. Matt, how you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing awesome. Thanks for having me on the show. As you can see, I'm also wearing my Scott Fishbowl shirt.
just a little bit off camera.
It looks like it is.
Good stuff.
Yeah, he had me faked out as soon as we walked on. I thought we were matching.
Could have stuck with it.
So you're
Williams. I got to go with the sevens in my Twitter handle because my name is, you know, not exactly like very unique. So
yeah,
got to do something.
Yeah, it's funny because my Twitter handle, for the longest time, I had to keep saying, you know, Jeff with a G, because no one spells it the way I spell it. So it's a little bit different. People are probably looking for my name, like, I can't find J-E-F-F Lambert. Yeah, that's because it's not there.
Yeah, first time I was on the pod before I was a regular. I thought it was G off, and I just didn't say your name the entire time because I didn't want to mess it up.
Yeah, I've definitely gotten that G off before. Actually, I had a lady that used to work for me, and she'd always spell my name, and she would reverse the O and the E, which spells go F. So I was like, kind of, are you trying to give me a hint here? Tell me to go F myself or what? So, hey, Matt, so you actually are in the Scott Fishbowl, right? Did you make the cut?
Yeah. I'm technically in there more than anybody because I'm currently in two different divisions. Oh. Through some kind of clerical error, I am both in the Mario and Bowser division. So that is currently being worked on. So, I'm twice as good as everybody.
You got the double the chances.
One guy at home. I can't get in. I'm in twice. I'll be getting whittled down sooner or later here.
Good stuff. You know which division you're going to stay in, or they haven't told you yet?
Nah, right now I think it's looking like Bowser. I think, not really sure because there's someone from my site already in Mario, and I think he tries to stay away from doing that. So.
Spread him out. Yep.
Yeah,
I'm in the Mega Man division. What division are you in again, Ryan?
Banjo and Kazooie.
Oh, that's right. All right, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun this year. I mean, I think it's 1,200 teams this year, up, you know, from last year was 900. So I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait till the draft starts on July 8th.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, Matt. So give us a little bit about what you do right now. You're co-owning and managing FF Statistics. I know it's a fairly new site, isn't it? Didn't it just start here recently, or has it been around for a while?
We're all about like 16 months old. Relatively new. Run it with Addison Hayes, Adam Hayes Hayes. He does all the back end stuff, and I run the front end of the site. So it's an awesome site. He started it off as like a college project, for like data visualizations, everything for fantasy football. And I just approached him one day and said, we could be doing so much more. If anyone's familiar with fantasy baseball, like Fangraphs, so I said, there's not. I think we can try to turn this into that one day. So that's the goal. And it started off as a Google Hangout with four people, me, him, Michael Zingone, and Peter Howard, if you guys, probably know them. And then now we're up to like around like 40 people and growing and growing and growing. So
nice.
Yeah, I bought his project like the first day he had it like sold on Excel sheet and it wouldn't load on my tablet. At that point, I was like, that's all right. I was just supporting it. But he puts out awesome. It was awesome stuff.
We actually have a database for Scott Fishbowl 9 on the site. It's on sale, has extensive data and projections for all the players using the different format and scoring. It's only $1 and 100% of the profits goes to Fantasy Cares. We're not keeping any of it. Addison made it, and it's just on the, if you go to our site, ffstatistics.com, in the bar, there's like shop. It's like the very first thing says SFB9 database. $1 goes right to Fantasy Cares.
Nice, nice. Good stuff. All right, so we got lots to cover tonight. We'll start off with the news and notes tonight. I wrote a couple things down. I added some tonight as well because some news and notes broke in the last couple of days that I hadn't put on here. But we'll kick it off with a wide receiver from the Redskins, Trey Quinn. The note here is he's locked down the slot role. I was kind of the mind that I thought it was going to be Kelvin Harmon that's going to get that spot there as the rookie, but Trey Quinn, I guess, in the second year, looks like he's doing pretty well there. I believe he was undrafted last year. Ryan, what are your thoughts on Trey Quinn as far as Dynasty goes? Are you trying to add him to your teams?
I've actually had some Trey Quinn shares. He's a guy who, he was a slot man before that, and Harmon, when he was with Haskins at college, he was on the outside. He was mostly his go-to deep guy, not Paris Campbell. But I think he's a profile's that. But I love Trey Quinn for them for, late round flex option in a pinch. If you look at what Haskins did at Ohio State, KJ Hill was their slot guy there. And he caught 70 passes. He was number two on their team passes. He caught more than McLaurin did in college. And he was just behind Campbell, who also worked a lot of the slot. For a young quarterback, he might eat up a lot of targets for them, especially if we don't have Jordan Reed in the mix, because you can't always count on him.
That's a good point, yeah, because Jordan Reed's very injury prone. He works that middle of the field pretty well, but if he's not there, it leaves a big hole in the middle. What about you, Matt? What do you think of Trey Quinn?
I love Trey Quinn, even before I heard the news. I mean, like you said about Jordan Reed, you can't really count on him. Crowder's gone. Doxson's not around. So then you for all the targets, you got... you got Quinn, you got Harmon, who I still would be pretty interested in because you don't know how it's going to shake out with targets there. And McLaren, who with, if Haskins gets in there, he obviously will have some kind of rapport with him. But Darius Geis coming back, Chris Thompson. Nice. I mean, it's a big question mark everywhere. I mean, Geis is coming off an injury. Chris Thompson's kind of always hurt.
He has a walking injury.
Trey Quinn's kind of. Oddly, the safest guy in that entire offense. So I'm all over it.
Yeah,
it's crazy. McLaurin only caught $35 last year with Haskins.
That's crazy. And then he got drafted higher than some of the receivers I thought would have gone before him.
Dude, he had 20 yards to catch that. Like, he wasn't catching them pop shots.
Right. He's that big play guy. Yeah, good stuff. All right, another guy that's kind of in the news lately. I know me and you, Ryan, we kind of bought into this guy recently in one of our drafts that we're co-managing. Devontae Freeman, Atlanta Falcons, looking like himself again in camp. What do you think of Devontae Freeman, Matt?
I think everyone's in the best shape of their life in mini camp.
Yep.
So I take all those updates with a grain of salt. For where he's going in drafts around like Marlon Mack, Aaron Jones, yeah, sure. Tevin Coleman's out of there in Atlanta. Their defense is going to be a little bit better. They went through a lot of injuries last year, so they're going to be pounding the ball a bit more. I expect the offense to be a juggernaut, and I'm not really on the totally on the Ito Smith train like everyone else. Some people are, I should say. So, yeah, why not? I see no reason to doubt it, and you're not really paying a giant premium. So, I'm Freeman's a guy I'm probably going to be grabbing quite a few shares of this year.
Yeah, I think I've already got two shares of him in two of my leagues this year. And there was a poll on Twitter that I responded to today. Someone was doing a poll between Damian Williams from the Chiefs and Devontae Freeman. And one of the guys chimed in like, well, I'd go Damian Williams because he's younger and, you know, whatever, whatever. So I chimed in like, you know, Devontae Freeman is only a month older than Damian Williams. You don't realize how young he actually is. He's actually about 9 months younger than David Johnson. And no one's talking about his age. This is for some reason he feels old, but he really isn't. He's only 27 years old and he just turned 27. So he's still a young guy, still going to be around for a while. So if he can get back and be healthy, I'd love to be some Devontae Freeman. What about you, Ryan? What do you think of Freeman?
I thought you were going to say everyone thinks Damian Williams is young when he's not, but I love Devonta Freeman. I mean, I'm a Florida State homer, so I've been a fan. I've followed him for his whole career. But when he's in, he's fantastic. Like, he's a guy, if he stays healthy, you have a low-end RB1 there at a great value. He could be a guy who wins the league for you if you get him late, if you get him to that spot. It's just literally health. I agree with you. I don't believe in Ito Smith. I think he's nothing but a satellite back. I'm for Devonta, or I'm for Freeman around that Aaron Jones, Marlon Mack range, because they're running backs, man. Everybody gets hurt at that position. It's just part of the game. You have to kind of build it in or expect it. So I'll take the chance on a guy who I've seen do it and has a ton of upside.
With having an entire, just as an example, like having an entire year off, I mean, how confident are better than Devonta Freeman this year in that Jets offense versus Freeman in the Falcons offense, but there's like probably a round and a half up to two rounds of difference you have to pay in the draft to get him. I mean, the redraft at least. So, yep. I mean, yeah, Freeman, very nice value where he's going.
Agreed. 100%. All right. Let's skip a couple of these smaller notes that I wrote down. We'll go right to my team here with Pettis. Predicted to be the number one receiver there. I don't think it's a big surprise there, but people weren't expecting Debo to be the number two. They thought he'd be the slot guy, but it looks like it's going to be Taylor in the slot, Debo at two, and Pettis at one. Ryan, does this change your outlook on Debo playing outside as opposed to playing that slot role?
I'm kind of surprised by it. I think they'll move him around, though. Because, like I said, we just finished OTAs. We don't know how it's going to work out. But Debo is a guy who they're going to have to get the ball. He's a talented receiver. He can do everything. He can go inside, outside. He runs pretty much the full route tree. You know, he's been a guy I've been a fan of, especially because he can run after the catch and make plays.
Yep.
But now I think his value is not going to make that big of a role. Marquise Goodwin's the guy who I'm kind of concerned with a little bit because I don't know where he's going to fit in.
Right.
But you'd know their situation a little bit closer than I would.
Yeah, they got a ton of receivers there, and I was talking about this before. I think a lot of them are the same receiver. You know, Pettis and Debo are very similar. Hurd is kind of that, you know, slash guy. He can do a little bit of everything. Goodwin has a spot just because he is their deep threat. I mean, he is their guy that's going to stretch the field. But I think he has a role just because he's so different than the receivers that are already there. So I think as long as he can stay healthy, he will have some value. I think he's more of a best ball kind of guy than an actual redraft or dynasty guy. But in best ball, he'll have that, you know, that 2-3 games where he's going to just explode for a big game. But nothing that I want to start on a regular basis. What about you, Matt? What do you think of the situation out in San Francisco with these receivers?
I don't know. I mean, I really like Pettis a lot. But the situation has nothing to do with me thinking the San Francisco offense is going to be bad. I think it's going to be actually pretty good. But I think, like you said, they're all kind of the same wide receiver. So I don't know how the target share is really going to work out. Last year, it was kind of a two-man show down the stretch. Well, I mean, three-man. Bourne was in there too, going there probably target for target with Pettis. But I think Kittle had somewhere near 30% in the last few games. I mean, it was just like mobbing it. I don't expect that to continue, but again, all the running backs were hurt. Now you got McKinnon back healthy, Tevin Coleman healthy, two guys that could carry targets out of the backfield. They're going to find a way to use them consistently. So I think Pettis will be good. I think he'll improve, except I'm not sure as far as fantasy goes, if he'll take that next step. A lot of people are hoping he will, just because I'm not sure the targets will be there in the end, just as far as volume goes, because I think they're going to spread the ball around a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. I think the only thing that we have really to go on is Shanahan's history. And I think his history says that a receiver in that, you know, that spot that Pettis is going to be in this year is a good spot to be in. I mean, I think he had Garcon with the Redskins. He had Julio Jones with Atlanta. Even going back, I believe it was Andre Johnson when he was in Houston. All these spots are pretty good spots to be in. But like you said, they're all kind of the same receiver. We don't know which one's going to emerge and be that guy. And will it be sort of a receiver by committee where they're just going to run guys in based on situation? So it's something to definitely watch when we get into that preseason.
Like, for example, I think I expect him to double his output from last year, like 800 to 900 yards. But I think anyone expecting him to do some kind of a breakout thing, I just don't think that opportunity is there. So that's kind of it.
Yeah, and I agree. I think also, you know, that offenses will be, I think it'll be a good rushing offense. It was last year, even without McKinnon and without Tevin Coleman. Now you got three capable backs there that I think that can run the ball. So they may run the ball a bit more. And, you know, their defense has been improved. They've been spending a lot of first round picks on the defensive side of the ball, so they can actually be pretty good. So, you know, who knows? It can end up being a defensive team with the running game, and the receivers just are kind of secondary. So it's an interesting situation to watch for sure. All right, the big news that came out, I believe earlier today, or maybe it was late last night. Of course, Tyreek Hill met with the NFL, and the rumor came out from an unknown source from the Chiefs that they expect Tyreek Hill to get a max of a 4-game suspension, which of course increases his value tremendously. We all kind of expected the 6 to 8 games. Ryan, if he's getting 4 games, let's say we're in redraft right now, where are you going to slot Tyreek Hill in with just those 4 games?
Probably late round 3. Maybe I want to say late, mid to late round 3 range, maybe early. I mean, he can make a difference down the stretch. If it's 4 games, you just have to survive a little bit with him.
Yep, agreed. I think that third round might be a little bit rich for my blood. I have to actually go and do a mock draft and see where I'd actually feel comfortable taking him. I think the receiver position is so deep. But, yeah, the advantage you get once he gets on the field is huge. I mean, you've got basically a receiver one that you can get in the maybe third, fourth round. What about you, Matt? What do you think Tyreek Hill slots in?
I don't know. I would probably a little after the third. I would say before I would take him, he'd probably be the end of the fourth round is where I'd go. That probably, I'm trying to think of like an ADP comp.
I'm bringing that up now.
I think right in the third round, I mean, you're probably looking at the beginning of the third. You might still have guys hanging around like Hilton, maybe. So I definitely after that. That's why I'm kind of just projecting probably at least a round down from there. He's definitely above. I would take him above, I don't even know. Go ahead.
So I got some ADP. Tell me over or under. You said below Hilton. He's at 301.
Yeah.
AJ Green?
Below.
Aaron Jones. I had a different position, but.
Yeah, below Aaron Jones.
Thielen? Say below.
Yeah, below Thielen.
How about Amari Cooper?
Below. Keenan below.
All Diggs? Those.
Below.
Sony Michelle.
What's the next wide receiver on the board? Because that's
after close. Diggs. Yeah. Diggs is at 4-3, which doesn't seem right to me, but wow. Edelman's at 4-6.
Probably right there.
I think that's the sweet spot. The Michelle, yeah. the Patriot area, I guess, is the easy spot.
Early round 4.
Yeah, early round 4.
I take maybe Brandon Cooks. So his Cooks is at 4-8. And Hill is 4-8 right now.
Yeah, I think that's a good spot to take a gamble on Hill over any of the guys on the Rams, like because they're all kind of bunched together just because of the timeshare, and you never know how that's really going to go in year two. So that's probably a good spot.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's where I'd take him as well. I think it also kind of depends on how your draft goes beforehand. Like, you know, did you go RB, RB, and then get a receiver in the third, or did you get a receiver in the first round? You know, then you got your receiver one. Are you good to go for a while? So I think it depends on how you go in those first 3 rounds. If you feel comfortable taking Hill and having him sit for 4 games before you can actually use him. So good stuff there, though, guys. All right, let's get into some breakout or fake out guys. Basically, these are guys that the fantasy community, if you listen to Twitter, you listen to, you know, you read some articles, everyone has them on their breakout sort of board. So I want to kind of talk to them a little bit and what y'all feel about them. and just label them a breakout for this year or a fake out. Now, this doesn't go toward a dynasty value. If these guys break out in year three, they could still be a fake out for this year. So just think of it for this year only in 2019. And we'll kick it off with the QB position here with Josh Allen. And Matt, we'll go to you first. Breakout or fake out for QB Josh Allen?
Depends on your definition of success for Josh Allen. I would say fake out because, I mean, he was QB1 down the stretch. I'm kind of confident on him because he showed the ability to be very, very successful with his wheels. And now he's got like quite a few, you know, he's got John Brown, he's got Cole Beasley, and he still has, the other weapons he had last year. So I think there's room to improve. And I think he'll do a lot better than the people that are really down on him are. And where his ADP is going right now, I'd say he finishes well above that, but he's still an inaccurate passer, way more inaccurate than Lamar Jackson, which people really get on him about. So in general, I'll say fake out if we're judging him on how his point value was at the end of last year.
All right, fair enough. Oh,
that's so nice. Someone saying something nice about Lamar Jackson on our show makes me so happy.
Doesn't happen often. What about you, Ryan? Breakout or fake out for Josh Allen?
I think the breakout. He's a guy I'll probably have on a roster here or there. I mean, he's a guy we get him late, and after the top like five QBs, they're all interchangeable anyway. So I take my chances. His rushing upside's fantastic. He has more weapons. That offense is kind of built around what he can do. Like he throws the deep ball. He got some guys now between John Brown and Robert Foster who can just sling it too.
Yep.
And the one thing that's kind of getting overlooked, I think, they're going to get a lot of pass interference a la Joe Flacco balls and with those receivers, which is going to get that ball on the 1 yard line, 5 yard line. He's going to be able to just rush it in. That's because true. He's a big body dude who can just take it up the middle. I think that rushing touchdown upside is going to be a nice bonus.
You know, that's actually a great point. John Brown can go get it. So yeah, you probably got a good call there. Defenses better look out for those pass interference calls because John Brown's going to run down there and the ball's going to be sitting there waiting for him.
Yep.
I don't believe John Brown's good anymore, but I believe he's good in that role.
The run down the field really far. Grab a ball.
Yep.
That's what he's good for.
Or pretend to grab a ball. One of the two.
Bitter Ravens fan over here. I think I'm on the breakout side. And I think kind of what Matt was talking about, I think you can be a breakout fantasy quarterback and be a bad NFL quarterback. And I think that's where he's going to fall into. I don't think he's going to be accurate. I don't think he's going to be winning games for Buffalo. I mean, he will win games, but he's not going to be the reason they win games. He might be the reason they lose some games because of his inaccuracies. So I think he can be a breakout in fantasy. I think I may have him in my top 12 at quarterbacks this year based on his rushing upside and the touchdowns that he might get rushing. But I don't think he's going to be a breakout in the NFL sense. I don't think that the Bills will come out of this season feeling real comfortable about Josh Allen being their quarterback going forward. I think it's kind of where in the situation where Cam Newton was a couple years ago, where you know his running ability and his passing ability didn't quite match up, and he finally put it all together. It's the question is, can Josh Allen do it?
Man, don't disrespect Cam like that. But the thing is, if they build the game around what he's doing, he doesn't have to be the kind of like Lamar Jackson. He doesn't have to be the prototypical passer to be good in real football.
I get that, but can you win that way? I mean,
yeah. I mean, why not? If they have a really good defense, which they do, they're a top five defense. They have a hodgepodge run game, but they'll still be effective. I think they can be a wild card team with that.
Okay, fair enough. I'll buy that. All right, next one up here. We'll go to you first, Ryan, because I know you were down on him last year, and you sort of were, you know, sort of rectified or at least proven right in the season with this guy. Breakout or fake out for Rashad Penny in year two?
Can I say in between? Like, I think he's getting overdrafted, but I have him higher than I had him rated last year. I have him as my RB26, but I don't think he's – it's weird. I think Chris Carson's better, but I have him scoring more than Chris Carson because I think he's going to have a role, and I think he's going to be better in the receiving game. But I don't know if he's going to have enough carries to really be somebody you can trust every week, especially other than maybe the flex position.
Gotcha.
So it depends on where you're drafting him at, whether we had that. What's his ADP at?
Too high.
Too high? So if we're looking at his ADP, I should have that up. I apologize.
All right. While you look it up, we'll go to Matt. Matt, what do you think of Rashad Penny?
I said to ignore all the mini camp stuff, except for the quote I think came out today that the Seahawks shockingly plan to split the timeshare running back. if I wanted to dip into a place where I knew it would be split, I'd go elsewhere. You can grab guys like Damian Harris later who might have similar role. I mean, if you wanted to go with something uncertain, not that they have anywhere near the upside, but if you're just talking this year, I mean, the Tampa Bay guys, Ronald Jones Jr., is obviously a lot scarier. But even like Miles Sanders, if you were going to pay for Penny, I think I maybe go to Sanders for 2019. It just, I don't trust what the heck they're doing last year. I don't know. I mean, he just looks like he wants to bury Penny sometimes, and then he comes out of nowhere. And then was it Carson was hurt? And then all of a sudden, who's the third guy they had on that freaking team?
Mike Davis.
Yeah. Why? then Mike Davis happens. So I don't trust, you know who's going to lead the league, lead the team from week to week. Who knows? It's some guy that, you know, they find off the street. Could be.
Yeah, you're right.
And what?
I found his ADP. Ryan, did you find it? I have ADP as a seventh round, mid seventh round. What did you have, Mess?
I see him at 609. I'm on somewhere different than me. I'm on Fantasy Football Calculator.
That's what I'm on too. I went to redraft PPR though, so you may be on a different.
I don't think I'm on PPR. I'm comfortable round seven. I'm comfortable with him.
Yeah, he's being drafted right around.
If you go off ADP, I consider that fine. He's an upside guy. I'll draft him there.
Yeah, he's there with Lamar Miller, Latavius Murray's in that range. Darrell Henderson.
I take him over all of them. I have him slotted at 177 carries and 36 receptions. So I mean, he's gonna get some I think he's gonna get some volume.
Yeah, and that offense too. I mean, they run the ball a ton.
They're gonna run the ball a ton.
Yeah, you can have two running backs there, and both of them be viable. So yeah, I agree. I'm gonna go with a mini breakout. I'm not gonna say that he's gonna end up being your RB2. I think he'll be a good flex position for you. I think getting him in the seventh round is a good spot. So breakout based on
weeks, I bet.
What was that?
That he gives a few good weeks, like huge weeks though.
Yeah,
he's gonna be like a week with like 30 rushing yards, and then I'll have one with like 170.
Yep. Yeah, you're probably right.
He'll be on your and you'll have him benched.
Yep. He'll be frustrated.
I should probably say all my takes are I'm risk averse like crazy. When it comes to some things like in that middle rounds there, can you say Lamar Miller next to him? Like I'm taking Lamar Miller every time and everyone's like, boo, Lamar Miller. he literally delivers all the time. You know what you're going to get. You're not going to have him on the bench, but you know, he's amazing. He's not going to have your 30 point game, but he's not going to give you a zero. He's boring he's and solid. He's productive.
That's true. That is true. All right, next one we got here is a receiver in his second year, started to break out, sort of ends into the end of last year, and that's wide receiver Courtland Sutton. Matt, we'll go to you first. What do you think of Sutton this year? Breakout or fake out?
Breakout. I like what I saw. More importantly, I don't believe in Deshaun Hamilton at all, and obviously Emmanuel Sanders is dealing with an injury. Noah Fant, I like a lot in that offense just because obviously the relationship Flacco has with tight ends, but you know, Sutton is the wide receiver there. And, at least for a good portion of the year until Sanders, if he's ever truly ready to go, I think he's the guy. So, I think he should be pretty solid for where he's going in drafts. I like him breakout.
All right. What about you, Ryan? Courtland Sutton, breakout or fake out?
Breakout. I like Sutton. I think Flacco will force him the ball. He's going to be a big-time red zone threat. Kind of look at it like some of the old receivers he had, like the big physical guys who he locked onto, like Anquan Boldin, Michael Crabtree. They all got red zone work.
Yep.
Hit him over the middle, working the seams. I think, like you said, him and Fant are going to be big time for them. And Fant might be the first rookie tight end I've ever like really been heavy on.
Nice. All right, we'll go ahead and sweep it. I won't talk about him too much. You've kind of covered him already. And this next guy, we're going to go to Ryan first because Ryan is a known hater of this guy, and he knows that I love him. But tight end Mike Gesicki, breakout or fake out, Ryan, as if I didn't already know the answer to this question.
Fake out. yes, he's fast and can jump, but it's not functional speed, and it's not functional athleticism. I think he's too small to be a tight end, even though I know he's not going to be in line blocking, but they're still getting hit by linebackers. It's going to be kind of like Jordan Reed-esque kind of like Trey Burton asked, these underside tight ends are athletic. It's cool, but they don't really always hold up if they can't stay on the field. And I don't know if he's really that good of a pass catcher. Plus, that team's just terrible. Like, they're not.
If you led with that argument, I would buy it. If you led with they're just terrible and no one's going to be good there, I would maybe
Nobody's going to be good there. Yeah. I mean, what's Gesicki going to do? Maybe start him twice in the year where he's usable if you're lucky.
All right. Fair enough. Matt, what are you? Breakout or fake out of Mike Gesicki?
I mean, I don't know what you want me to say. He's free in leagues. So, I mean, if you're drafting him with a last pick, I mean, if Rosen gets the job, he's not, you know, they got Kenny Stills, Parker, Wilson. And then, you know, I don't know. I don't believe in the running back situation much. I'm not a Drake guy. I think that they're going to be behind constantly and they'll be passing. But I can't imagine a scenario where he ends up being valuable enough this season on that bad team. I think that maybe he'll show improvement from last year, and that going into next year, maybe we're talking more about him. Maybe if, you know, said Rosen gets the job and they develop something. But as far as this year, I would find it hard to find a spot on my roster. I just don't expect much. So yeah, fake out.
All right. Well, I guess I'm going to be the only one going breakout here. Like you said, there's nothing else there. You know what I mean? We saw what Jared Cook did last year with the Raiders. When there's nobody else to throw to, you know, you got this athletic guy out there on the field. They're going to get the ball to him somehow, some way. I mean, it's not like they're going to go through the whole season and not complete a pass. So it has to go somewhere. So if it's going to go to somewhere, I think it's going to go to Mike Gesicki. I think I'm calling him a breakout, but I'm not putting him into the top 12 yet. I will probably have him as he's a high-end tight end two, maybe a little bit higher if we're talking about tight end premium leagues. But I think from where people are drafting him, like you said, he's basically free. I mean, he's going below some of the guys that aren't even starters right now, and he's going below those guys. It's crazy how deep he's going down. I mean, last year he was the number one rookie coming out as far as tight ends, and you know, we all know that it takes at least a year or two for them to kind of break out, and then we kind of just forgot about him and just sold him out. Like, okay, he sucked last year, so you know, we know they're going to suck the first year. It's just, it happens every year, so... Go ahead.
I know rookie tight end who didn't suck last year, but
hey, who would you rather have? Who would you rather have, Gesicki or Jimmy Graham?
We're talking redraft, obviously.
Yeah, redraft.
Honestly, if I'm drafting Jimmy Graham, he's probably my second tight end because I probably would have gone a little bit earlier than that. I think I'm taking Gesicki for the upside.
Yeah, I just thought that, yeah, if you believe in him, I mean, Graham's the, I guess I'll take Graham tier, you know? I mean, so if that would be the spot where if you believe in Gesicki, you go for it.
Yep. That's kind of where I'm at, I guess. I'm going for the upside there. I actually have him in my Dynasty League as my tight end three. I got Ertz and O.J. Howard ahead of him, so he won't see the field even if he does break out this year, most likely, unless they have some major injuries. But I made a trade for him this offseason to go out and get him because I think he can actually break out. Maybe it's not year two, maybe it's year three when the quarterback situation gets a little bit better. But I think he's going to be better than people think that he is, and I think he's going to be better than what he's drafted at as well. All right, let's go back to the quarterback position here, Ryan. We'll go to you first. Sam Darnold, breakout or fake out?
Breakout. I love Sam Darnold. He was my top QB when he came out, coming in the draft. I think he has all the tools of a big-time QB, and I think they're building around him the right way. They got him. He has a good tight end in Herndon, who's up and coming. They have Lev Bell to protect him as a dump-off. He has his deep guy in Robbie Anderson. They have some talent around him now, and they threw 582 times last year on the Jets.
Wow.
And some of that was with McCown, so that, you know, hampered the numbers a little bit, but they trust that kid, and they're building around him. I think the solid run game's going to help a lot. And I like what they're going to do. I still can't see them being a great team, so they're going to be playing from behind. I can see some garbage time going. He's not going to be my number one QB on my team, but he's a guy who's going to have streaming consideration, and I'll probably buy a cheap in Dynasty.
All right. What about you, Matt? What do you think about Sam Darnold?
I like him. Breakout for sure. Like you said, they threw a ball a ton last year. Now you add Le'Veon Bell. Don't know what to expect from him, but you obviously can use him a lot out of the backfield to bail Darnold out a lot on some outlet passes. And he showed a lot of, well, I should say a lot. He showed occasional some kind of a relationship with Robbie Anderson. I mean, right off the bat last year, it looked like, holy, what are we going to see here? Remember, like, it was like maybe like the first couple of plays of the year, and then he just ghosted us for like weeks. And then he came back towards the end where it looked like they developed a little more rapport or relationship. So Robbie Anderson, Kiense Enunwa, Jameson Crowder, I think that Darnold's going to take a big step up this year. So yeah, breakout. I think they're going to be still not very good, like you said. So they're going to be throwing the ball a lot, and where you're grabbing him in drafts, which is pretty much the, like, you know, the bottom, almost like second. I don't know, maybe like the third of the draft.
The third tiers.
Yeah, that's a good spot.
Yeah, I agree. I think that he's also going to be a breakout for where you're drafting him. And I pulled up Robbie Anderson's numbers last year because he did have that sort of lull where he didn't do a whole lot in the middle of the season, and then towards the end of the season it seemed like they kind of clicked. I mean, so the last three games of the season, 11 targets, 7 receptions, 96 yards and a touchdown, 13 targets, 9 catches, 140 yards and a touchdown. And then in the last game, he had 3 catches for 24. But those two games before that were just monster games for Robbie Anderson. If they can kind of keep that chemistry going, I think Anderson's a very talented receiver, and I think Darnold can definitely blossom in year two and be the guy that they drafted, you know, as high as they did. So I'm going breakout as well. All right, Matt, we'll go to you first this time. We're going back to Denver again with their running back situation there. Of course, last year the big talk was Philip Lindsay, and now everybody seems to be kind of shifting their focus towards Royce Freeman. Is Royce Freeman a breakout or a fake out for you?
This is a hard avoid for me, actually. I believe in Royce Freeman, actually, but there's no reason not to believe in Philip Lindsay, which is the issue. This isn't a Carson Penny situation for me where Penny looks like he should be the superior back and we're just waiting for him to take the job. Freeman, I believe, is the superior back, except there's nothing that Lindsay showed me that he should lose real playing time. So I think you're just looking at a timeshare here, whether you like it or not, even if Freeman shows off. So I think if Freeman is going to steal the job and Lindsay is going to break down because he's too small, that's something that maybe doesn't happen necessarily this year. It could happen in the future. So in Dynasty, sure, Freeman's the guy. I think long term, just because I think he's built more for the game. But in 2019, I don't really see it. I think Lindsay's probably going a little, I don't know. I think a lot closer numbers than they were last year, but I don't think that's necessarily enough to call Freeman a breakout this year.
Yeah, good call there. I actually had Royce Freeman. I drafted him last year in my rookie drafts and had him last year. And there was a point in the season where he was actually one of the most efficient per carry guys in the league, not just, you know, for rookies, but in the league. And then he got hurt and it was just, he didn't come back the way he was. And before that, and then of course, Lindsay blew up and he couldn't see the field enough. So he kind of fell off. But I brought this up in one of my recent articles on Fantasy Pros, and you know, their new coach now is the former defensive coordinator for the Chicago Bears. And of course the Bears had a two-back system with Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen. I think that he wants to bring that similar mindset to the Broncos as a defensive side guy. He wants to, you know, run the ball. And their offensive coordinator is a QB coach from under Kyle Shanahan. So they know how to run the ball. Shanahan had that sort of two-back system with Tevin Coleman and Devontae Freeman in Atlanta. So that combination, I think, it kind of lends itself to a two-back system. And I think Freeman and Lindsay can both be fantasy viable, but unfortunately, they're both going to kind of vulture each other. So neither one of them will be like an RB2, RB1. But they'll both be good for fantasy on a flex sort of RB3 way. What about you, Ryan? Breakout or fake out for Royce Freeman?
I kind of hate him for this year. I like Freeman the player, but I hate both his backs for this year. I think it's going to be very similar, like you said, Chicago. I brought up his like game by game stats. His games with the with his most carries were all, other than week 17 where Lindsay was out, were all games where they won by a decent amount of points. And games where they're leading, he's probably going to get a good amount of carries. In games where they're playing from behind, we're going to see Lindsay. So maybe in daily fantasy, I'd mess with them, but I'm going to pass. There's other guys in those areas for both those guys.
All right. Fair enough.
So you're hard going, pass for me.
You're going fake out for you. Ryan, we'll just stay with you to kind of speed things up here a little bit. We're going to go with wide receiver Curtis Samuel. Breakout or fake out?
Breakout. Curtis Samuel, I think he's fantastic. I think both him and DJ Moore are fantastic for Cam Newton. They play right into what he does well. Curtis Samuel's super explosive, and they, you could tell last year they're starting to do it. They were finding ways to manufacture him getting the ball, whether it be bubble screens, end arounds, just getting it places where he can run after the catch and make plays with his athleticism and use them all over. I love it for that offense, and I think Curtis Samuel's a guy you can get super late who has a ton of upside. I think he's a solid flex wide receiver three type guy.
Yeah, I'm going breakout as well for Curtis Samuel. I actually tried to trade for him today in one of my leagues, and the guy was just not having it because he'd heard all the rumors, too, about potential he'd be the number one receiver in that offense and not DJ Moore. And, you know, for those of y'all that watched the, you know, the show on YouTube.
I disagree with that.
Well, it's a possibility because, I mean, DJ Moore wasn't much better than Samuel last year, so who knows?
DJ Moore's fantastic. I love that.
But, yeah, I was going back to my intro. If you watch the intro show on YouTube or on Periscope, the little play that I have on there on the intro is Curtis Samuel, where they're flipping the ball to him and he's breaking tackles and making everybody miss on his way down the field. And that play that they did, I guess, I think it was Tampa Bay they're playing against. And, you know, that's how he is. That's how he's used, you know, sort of get him the ball in that sort of role, just give him an open space and let him make plays. What about you, Matt? Curtis Samuel, breakout or fake out?
Oh, breakout for sure. I agree with Ryan, though, I mean, DJ's definitely the wide receiver one. I don't see any way around that. But if I had to pick one receiver there as far as value, it's Curtis Samuel. It's not even close. There's no way they should be going as far apart as they are. I think it'll be closer than in workload. But DJ is, I think, a prime time, like almost superstar type talent. And Curtis Samuel isn't quite that. But he's a really, really solid, wide receiver. And that is their two options. I mean, Greg Olson's not going to, you know, give you a whole lot. I mean, he probably pulled something or broke something while we were talking about him just now. Ian Thomas is, you know, nice enough. But, you know, and Christian McCaffrey is going to be the team engine there. The only thing that worries me at all is, I guess, Cam's shoulder. I haven't really heard anything negative recently about it. So I'm going to go ahead and assume he'll be all right. Probably, you know, bounce back of sorts for him because he's going probably criminally late in drafts for someone who doesn't actually have any negative medical reports at the moment.
Yep.
So yeah, Curtis Samuel, breakout for sure. He's going like way too late.
Yeah, definitely.
You guys play best ball? Grab Curtis Samuel. Yep. It's ridiculous.
I think I grabbed him my best ball I did with you.
Oh, really?
Oh,
nice.
Yeah.
All right, Matt, we'll stay with you, and we'll do the last one on here, a tight end, Mark Andrews for the Ravens. What do you think of Mark Andrews, breakout or fake out?
I'm going to fake out the entire Ravens offense. I mean, they have talent. I mean, they got Boykin. They got Hollywood, who I guess is looking at probably some injuries. But, I mean, they're going to be running the ball about 1 billion times, and I don't know if Andrews is going to be someone that I would be too confident in. I am not that against Lamar Jackson as far as some people are, but yeah, he's going to be learning a little bit, and I just can't invest a spot. There's too many guys at tight end kind of in that later tier where I'd rather go. So I would say fake out. I don't really want a part of him this year. I'm just not confident in that offense.
All right, Ryan, I know you are on the opposite end of that because we actually drafted him in the team that we co-own. Give us your points on Mark Andrews and why you think he's a breakout.
Okay. If you hear my dog barking, it's Nuxie here. Somebody's because he's pissed off about that take.
so, I like Mark Andrews, by the way. I love his talent. Maybe
I have Mark Andrews in my top seven this year.
Top seven? Wow.
He's my top seven. I think he's getting the ball a ton. Jackson trusted him as a rookie. Andrews was super efficient last year. Yards per reception, he was second in the league for tight ends. Yards per target, he was second. Catchable target rate, he was seventh. He was lights out, man. He averaged 16.2 yards reception, which probably is not sustainable, but even if it goes down to the 14 range, he's good. He was throwing him down the field in the seams because Jackson's highest completion rate was down the seam. So he was averaging 10.9 for average target distance, so his A dot was nice and high as well. He's somebody to trust. Marquise Brown, who's gonna get the ball. I think there's still a lot of questions. Willie Snead's just boring. He's gonna get a few targets, but he's not as athletic as Andrews is, who's 30 pounds more. Andrews is gonna be his dude this year. I think they're gonna feed that offense when they're not running through them. And Jackson, attempts a game puts him as a 3,000-yard passer. Somebody has to catch some of those balls. So that's why I'm leaning that way.
All right.
Quick question. Again, I don't actually disagree with a lot of the stuff you said other than who do you – the top? If he's in your top seven, I'm just curious who your top seven are. Because I think Kelce, Ertz, Kittle, Howard, Henry, Ingram are ahead of him. So, I mean, you have him like Cook, Vance McDonald, Njoku, Hooper. You have him above guys like that?
Bear with me. I'm bringing it up right now. Yes, I do. But let me see. My thing will load. I have him behind obviously Kelce, Kittle, Ertz, Ingram, OJ, Ebron. I haven't had a him. I haven't had a Hunter Henry. I don't trust Hunter Henry, especially with Mike Williams' issue. There's a lot of targets to feed there in that offense, especially with both backs too. I just
trust you have in front of Hooper and Vance too.
I do. I think the reason for it is because of the targets, man. All those guys have these elite receivers with them. Baltimore doesn't.
Yeah.
He's their top guy. I think he's going to lead their team. I think he's going to lead that team in receptions.
If he does that, then yeah, I think that you're right. I think he will be in that top, at least top 10, if not top 7, if he does lead the league, they lead that team in receptions because they will throw the ball enough to be, you know, to make him viable. Yep. But go ahead, Matt.
No. I was just saying, yeah. I mean, it's a matter of how much you believe in Lamar Jackson's progression going forward. If you think he's ready to take the next step, he has a lot of weapons there. They're going to throw the ball a bunch. Then you can make that case. I think even if I truly believed, I'd probably still have him outside of my top 10. I'd probably have him around like 12 or something still. But you have me more intrigued on him than I was. But yeah, I don't think I'd be still quite as high as you are. Regardless, that's a little high for me.
Last year was his receiving total was the third best for a rookie tight end since
Gronk,
the year, right? Not including that year with Gronk, amen.
Yeah, so I mean, he has some impressive numbers here. I'm trying to pull up where I've got him. I know I've got him pretty high. I got him at tight end 10, actually. I got
probably because you've heard me yap about him so much.
Yeah, literally every podcast.
Literally every show. I sell him.
Yeah, I've got him above Jared Cook. I got him above Ebron, Trey Burton. But I do have Vance McDonald, Hooper, Njoku all ahead of him. So he's my tight end 10 right now. So
I like that list, team. I think 10 probably sounds pretty good. That sounds like a pretty solid place.
All right. Take a quick commercial
break. I was higher on him 2 months ago than I am today.
Go ahead. What was that, Ryan?
I said I'm lower on Hooper today than I was 2 months ago.
Gotcha. All right. Let's take a quick commercial break, guys. When we come back, we're going to do some deep dynasty sleepers. We all have our guys we're going to talk about. So just hang with us real quick. We'll be right back.
Fantasy football. It's not just a social interaction anymore. Today's manager plays to win. And the difference between winning and losing is so small, a manager will do whatever it takes to get an edge. Yet the other sites offer the same content at an extremely high cost. It's time to get away from the old and step into the future of fantasy stats. This is StatRoute. StatRoute allows you to find any data set for any player or team in 7 seconds or less, all on a simple, easy-to-use application. Want to see which running back performed best in the snow last season? How about the past 5 seasons? And in the fourth quarter? Or maybe you're unsure of which quarterback to start for the upcoming week. With our StatsIP technology, you can now quickly see how Matt Stafford has performed in the rain, during the second half of the season, in New York, compared with how Russell Wilson has played during primetime games, at home, versus the Rams' new defensive coordinator, Wade Phillips. At StatRoute, it's our mission to deliver state-of-the-art technology guaranteed to keep you ahead of the curve. So, whether you're a casual football fan, a weekly fantasy trash talker, or a DFS hustler, we've got you covered. Welcome to the new standard for stats delivery. We are StatRoute. Take back your lead.
All right. right, guys, welcome back. I'm here with Ryan and Matt, and we are about to break down some deep dynasty sleepers. So get your pen and paper out, take some notes. These are some guys you probably haven't heard of if you're not really deep into dynasty. We'll kick it off with you, Matt, first. Give us one of your guys.
I don't know if like people have never heard of this guy, but he's a guy that maybe people aren't thinking about as much as Dexter Williams on the Green Bay Packers. He's obviously been taken in rookie drafts. People may not, I think, be taking him as seriously as they should, though. I mean, Aaron Jones last year. I love Aaron Jones. I'm a Packers fan, by the way, totally up front. Aaron Jones, I think, is a possibility of being a monster RB1. Matt LaFleur already said he wants to get the running backs more involved in the passing game. But like, he missed a couple of games to begin the last year with a suspension. He missed the last two games with an injured knee. He's has a hard time staying on the field, and his backup is Jamal Williams, who, if you pay attention, he's allergic to talent. So, you know, if something happens to Aaron Jones, all of a sudden Dexter Williams goes into a very, very powerful role with the Green Bay Packers. I mean, he's very quick. He's got a decent size to be an every down back in the NFL. He really came on well at his senior year at Notre Dame. In just eight games, I think I have his numbers here. He had like 995 yards, 12 touchdowns, caught 13 balls. So Dexter Williams is, I think, a guy people need to take a lot closer look at on that Packers offense.
Nice. I hope you're right, because I actually added him off waivers after my draft was done. We only have a 3-round rookie draft, so he didn't actually get drafted in the first 3 rounds. So I added him immediately after the draft, and I got him sitting in my taxi squad right now. So hopefully he does sort of pop. I need some running backs to pop because I have a very shallow bench. All right, Ryan, give us your thoughts on Dexter, and then talk about your guy.
I mean, the most important part is, can Dexter Williams run block and or pass block enough to have Aaron Rodgers keep him on the field?
Yep.
Jamal Williams is the only reason he's on the freaking team. I hate it. It's so bad.
Yeah, I have no idea what to make of that backfield. I take a flyer on him, but I have no idea what to make out of that, man.
All right,
it's a well worthwhile lottery ticket throw.
It is.
For guys that you are taking well where he is or even free. I mean, one injury and he's like really valuable, and you can't really say that for guys down in his level. That's pretty much the deal.
Yep, good point.
100% agree with that.
Ryan, what's your first deep dynasty player?
I'm going to go with the guy that I got all kinds of crap for this week is Tre'Quan Smith. I mean, this dude is sitting there. He's essentially the Saints' number two receiver. I know everyone's saying Teddy Ginn's that, but Teddy Ginn's not going to catch more than 40 or 50 balls. His role caught 90 passes last year, which was good for 90.3, which was of catchable targets, which was good for eighth in the NFL. Breeze's QB rate when targeting Tre'Quan Smith was third in the NFL at 133. He averaged 15.9 a catch. They're going to throw the ball a lot. They threw 519 times, which was low for a Drew Brees offense. I can see that going up with losing Mark Ingram. I know Latavius there, but I don't think he's that caliber running back. And the weeks when Tre'Quan Smith was starting and before he got hurt, he averaged over four targets. His targets went from he scored 100 over 100 yards on a 4-target game in a 13-target game. So he showed he could produce either way off of big plays or getting pure volume. I think he's a guy that going for basically, again, nothing in drafts could give you a flex upside for free. And if unfortunately something would happen to Michael Thomas, which I never want to see, he's a dude who could blow up.
All right. You guys must have taken a look at my fantasy squad before you came on the podcast, because I also have Tre'Quan Smith on my roster as well. So I hope you're both right about your players, because I would love that for my fantasy squad. All right. My guy is a little bit deeper. You may not have heard of him just quite yet, and he may be another year before he actually breaks out. He's 6'5", 270 pounds, former basketball player. This guy is humongous. And that's Mo Alie-Cox, tight end for the Colts. Of course, we all know Eric Ebron and Jack Doyle are both there, but they're both in the last year of their contracts. So Mo Alie-Cox last year didn't do a whole lot. He had 7 catches the whole season, but 2 of them were for touchdowns. And if you follow the DFS podcast version of this show, I actually had him as my sleeper tight end in one of the weeks, and he caught that touchdown the week that I actually played him, had him at minimum salary. the guy is a monster. I mean, if you see him stand next to Eric Ebron, he just dwarfs this guy. He is a basketball player, so he's very athletic. And I think that if Eric Ebron and Jack Doyle are both gone after next year, Malachi Cox steps into that role and could be Andrew Luck's go-to target in the red zone, which, you know, at 6'5", 270, why wouldn't he be? All right, Matt. Go ahead, Ryan. What are you going
to say? He was trending on Sleeper. He was number one trending player on Sleeper last week.
It's because I added him.
Who the hell is this guy?
Yeah, I actually had him in DFS last week, and everybody gave me shit for it. I believe it was a Monday night game. It was the night that Eric Ebron actually went off, but he had a touchdown in that game, and then he had a second touchdown that was literally called back, and then the next play, Luck threw it to Ebron for a touchdown instead. But had Mo Alley Cox kept that touchdown, I would have made a lot of money that night because he was very low owned. All right, Matt, we'll go back to you. What's your thoughts on Mo Alley Cox, and then go ahead and give us your next guy.
He definitely has the build to be a big time tight end if he could, or a red zone presence too, if he could find some time to with the Colts. I mean, they're going to have obviously timeshare issues this year, but you said they're on the last year of their contract between Doyle and Ebron. My guess would be Ebron is a mercenary role. He'll probably leave. I think that Luck really does like Doyle and he'll be back. You know, he'll be a little bit older, and you said this guy is really big. So I think either way, even if Doyle stays, he'll find a role on the team. And he's definitely a guy worth taking a flyer on. So I like that pick a lot. The next guy I want to talk about is Justin Watson, which, you know, if you follow a lot of the tape guys, this is someone you probably heard his name before. He's on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I love him this year. He's a big dude, very fast. Bruce Arians is really the reason I love this too. Bruce Arians is in town, and all of the rumors are that they're going to be moving Godwin to the slot, which that was the big thing that was going to keep Watson away because, you know, Godwin and Evans were going to be on the outside and Humphreys leaves. So Godwin, they're thinking about putting in the slot. You have Evans and Watson on the outside. So I think that in that offense with Arians, just like airing the ball out, I think that he's a big guy. He can run down the field and you can get him for, you know, again, practically nothing. So if there's someone in your league, he's probably owned. If he's not, I'd scoop him up. But if there's someone who owns him, he doesn't truly believe in him, he's going to get a lot of opportunity on that Tampa Bay offense if they are truly going to move Godwin to that slot. So it's basically a gifted athletic player who could be given a very big opportunity to be opposite field Mike Evans. So it's just more freakishly athletic dude.
Yeah, I actually had Miguel Shapton on my podcast the year before Watson came out, and he does this PSI model where he has the receivers sort of ranked based on their metrics and what they do in college. And he had Justin Watson, I think, number two overall that year, that rookie class that he came out. And I had him on my podcast, and he was talking about him. And the whole time he's talking, I'm like, all right, I'm going to get this guy in the fifth round of my rookie draft this year. But because I had him on the podcast, one of my friends listened to the podcast and drafted him right before me. So I'm actually hoping you're wrong in this sense because I missed out just barely on this guy. If he blows up, I'm going to be very pissed because I actually shouldn't have had Miguel on until after I drafted. All right, Ryan, what you got for your next deep dynasty guy?
Next guy I have is second premier handcuff is Benny Snell. I know people know him because he was big deal in college. He was killer for Kentucky at 1,400 yards last year. He was an absolute workhorse. Coming to the Pittsburgh's offense, who we've seen just be a one-back system for years now. I don't know how much I believe in the timeshare thing, but I know as many carries as they give their running backs, they get beat up. And I'll take a guy who I know if there's an injury, he's going to get 20 touches a game. And Snell is built for that. I think he has a little bit more receiving upside than Connor does too. And they're basically the same player. He's a guy, I think if he somehow get in there, even for a week, he's the kind of guy who's not going to let go of that starting role. I'll bet he's nowhere I can in Dynasty. And I wouldn't mind taking a late round flyer on him in redraft either, just to protect investment. Even though I'd rather draft him if I didn't have Connor.
All right, good stuff. All right, we're running a little bit long here, so I'm going to go ahead and cut that segment short here. We'll go ahead and jump into the next segment. It's going to be the this or that segment. Let me hit the drop real quick. All right, so this or that. Basically, you are on the clock. I'm going to give you two guys. You tell me which one you draft and why. We'll do this in quick fire format so we can get to our new segment at the end of the podcast, our forgotten fantasy player. Matt, we'll go to you first here. This or that, Devontae Freeman or Leonard Fournette?
I don't want it. I want nothing to do with Leonard Fournette. So, I mean, whoever the other guy is you named. Yeah, Devontae Freeman. We already went over why he could be a monster this year. But Fournette, like I said, I'm risk averse, so Fournette has all the capability in the world to blow up and be a great value if he shows up. But Freeman for sure. Fournette, I don't trust that at all.
All right. So more of a detriment to Fournette than it is a boost to Devontae Freeman, right?
Yep.
All right. Ryan, Marlon Mack or Aaron Jones?
Marlon Mack. I don't trust the Packers offense at all. And I think Indy is committed to Marlon Mack being their top guy.
All right. Back to you, Matt. We got Mike Williams or Tyler Boyd.
I actually like Mike Williams. AJ Green, we don't know what we're going to expect out of him, but Mike Williams is going to have a lot more balls thrown his way since some guys left San Diego. He's a really big guy. The red zone target is going to stick there. Keenan is still going to keep all the eyes are still going to be on Keenan Allen. So I like Mike Williams as Philip Rivers tries to redeem himself from the end of last year.
All right. Good stuff. Ryan, back to you with two Rams receivers, Robert Woods or Cooper Kupp. This is redraft.
Robert Woods. Cooper Kupp's coming off a late season injury. We had Ethan Turner on here a few weeks back who told us that his ACL is not something that can be recovered that fast where he's 100%. Plus, I think Robert Woods is a better receiver anyway, so I'm going to lean Woods.
All right, so we're going to go to two guys that we kind of talked about already, two quarterbacks. Matt, O.J. Howard, I'm sorry, Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen?
Jeez. I would say Lamar Jackson. I think that he has a much higher chance of taking the next step as a passer, and actually getting a little closer to being a quarterback you can really count on week to week, and be confident. Yeah, I think he has a lot of nice weapons, and I think Jackson has it in him to become a better quarterback overall.
All right. I know Ryan loves to hear that. Ryan, we'll go to you for the last one here. We'll stay with quarterback. Jimmy Garoppolo or Dak Prescott? So upside Jimmy Garoppolo or the consistency of Dak Prescott?
I'm going Dak. I'm normally an upside person, but I think Dak has more upside than people give him credit for. Dak's been consistent with the floor with right around that 23 passing touchdowns, 6 rushing touchdown every single season, right around that QB 10 to 12 range. But he really showed out once Amari Cooper showed up, and now they have a full offseason to work together and build upon that chemistry. I think it's money. I love Dak Prescott late round. All right. So him by a decent amount.
Good stuff. All right. So I have a new segment that I sort of teased already. I'm going to try to do this every podcast with our guests, and that's going to be the forgotten fantasy player. So somebody that you think, that's been forgotten, that maybe you had on your teams, 5-4 years ago or whatever, that everyone's forgotten about. Just give us who it is and give us some stats or a story about him. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, this is I was trying to figure out who the heck to bring up here, like, because I don't want to bring up someone like, hey, do you remember so-and-so who is obviously used to be a really great player? So Victor Cruz.
Oh, nice.
Kind of a sad story here. Everyone's, Dancing with the Stars, Victor Cruz, his first full year, 82 catches for 1,536 yards. Next year caught 86 passes for 1,092 yards. Then, last pretty much full year, 73 catches for 998 yards. I mean, this was before I mean, he was a number one wide receiver. I mean, they loved him. He helped the Giants win a Super Bowl. And then he came in his fourth year and, tore his patella tendon completely. And he tried to make a comeback, just never happened. He actually, I think, tried to make the Bears just last year. He retired. Probably people don't even realize that. You think of him, he was gone a long time ago. He tried to come back with the Bears last year, was cut, officially retired last August. But, yeah, Victor Cruz. I just remember having him and watching him, and he looked like he was gonna really be like something special for a while, and then just like
poof, he was gone.
So yeah, I figured I'd bring him up because he's not a guy who was like maybe a decade value player in fantasy. He was only a couple of years, but people probably forgot about him.
Yeah,
what was his nickname?
What was the dance he would do? Was it the salsa that he would do when he scored a touchdown?
Yeah. I don't know. Actually, I don't even know the name. I don't want to butcher like whatever it does. But yeah, he did that. That was the thing he was known for, is doing the little dance. Didn't he do Dance with the Stars? Am I making that up?
No, I think you're right. I think you're right.
But yeah, it was just sad. I was going across all these guys, and I come across Victor Cruz. I'm like, oh my God, Victor Cruz. I gotta bring him up. So, nice. Victor Cruz, we salute you.
Good stuff. All right, Matt, give us one more time where we can find you on Twitter, where we can find your stuff online.
On Twitter, you can find me at Matt Williams, MATTWI77IAMS. I do a bunch of work over at FFStatistics.com. I host the Daily Blitz podcast. Right now, I'm actually doing a whole series from Scott Fishbowl 9. I'm having guests from every single draft slot, and I'm doing the draft strategy, so every single person can see what everyone else is thinking. Do DF Statistics, DFS podcast for there too. And I am also the CFO of a company called ClipCast. I want to tell everyone just a little bit about it. It's basically like the Google or like YouTube of podcasts. So right now we're just focusing on fantasy football. Go to clipcast.app, and we're also in a couple weeks going to be having an actual app on the app store. Type in a player, team, anything you want to think of right in the bar. It'll bring up all relevant podcasts who talked about you most recently. It'll just show you like a 20 to 30 second clip of just what you want to hear about. If you like what you hear, you click on it, you go right to the podcast, and it also make you a playlist so you can take it with you and filter it a bunch of different ways. But it's really awesome tool that I'm pretty proud to be a part of.
Yeah, I'm actually I was one of the first podcasts that were put on ClipCast, and that's great that I actually missed that in your profile, that you were part of ClipCast, because ClipCast is awesome. I mean, you literally go there, you type in Antonio Brown, and it's going to bring up all these podcasts that mention Antonio Brown, and you listen to just that segment. And like I said, if you like you like what you hear, you click on it, you can listen to the whole thing. It's an awesome, awesome tool that I use a lot. And if you haven't checked that out, definitely check that out. And it's cool that they have an app here pretty soon too, because that's going to make my life so much easier.
And we're actually covering the Scott Fish Podathon,
the 24 hours of podcasting.
I don't know who's going to watch all 25 hours, but they put it all up on video if you can watch in the segments. But on ClipCast, we're covering the entire thing. So if you miss anything, we're partnering with them. So if you want to, like, if there's any analysts you want to see, you can type in their name, you can type in any player, and we'll have it filtered so you'll only get the results from there. So that's something you can check out.
Nice. Awesome. Nice. Good stuff. All right, guys, that's the end of the podcast. For Matt, for Ryan, I'm Jeff. We'll see you next week. Peace.
Peace.